Sankarsana karana toyo shai. Garboda shai cha payobti shai. Se sastrayasyam sa kalasa nitya. Nandakya rama sharanam mamastu. Translation. May Sri Nityananda Rama be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsana, Seshanaga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Purport. Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the seventh of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om agena timidandasya agenanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave nama. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitanan Sri Advaita Garadha Sivasadi Go Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this chapter, by the mercy of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and the notes that he memorized from Srila Srip Damodar Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, you are getting insight into the cosmic Nityananda and the transcosmic Nityananda. It seems that every religious sect, every religious group wants to have a cosmic God. So, ordinarily, you might consider this information to be rah-rah talk of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Just see how cosmic Nityananda Prabhu is. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives you such a comprehensive picture with the grandest cosmological and transcosmological schemes. And then he fills in all the details. You've never seen anything like this. Upon first encountering this information, any humble person will admit, no mundane intelligence can make this up. It's too broad and limitless. And the details are too exquisite. The human imagination doesn't have that power. Of course, to get around the impact of all this transcendental information, mundane scholars like to credit it all to the might of the Hindu imagination. Those Hindus, they can't get much together, but when it comes to imagination, they are number one. That's how the Indologists approach all this. And we have something to learn from how they exercise their imaginative prowess. We, they say, the Westerners, we live in too much of a factual world. We live too much in the real world. We need the Hindus for expanding our creative horizons, letting the creative juices flow. So we offer all obeisances to Hindu mythology. Now, just think, you are educated persons, many of you doctors, IT wallahs, and just look what you're sitting down and listening to. Just hear the details of the transcendental reality. Mahasankarsan in the spiritual sky, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean and breathes out universes from his pores, and then glances, and by his glance he impregnates limitless living entities. And then Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, whose perspiration fills the bottom half of the universe, and then a lotus flower sprouts from his navel. And the smartest person in the universe comes from where? Not IIT, but from the navel. from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then what's next? Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the ocean of milk. And then Sheshanag, the couch of Vishnu. Sheshanag has so many heads, you can't count them. And he's the couch of Vishnu. Just think of all this information that you are calmly accepting. Indeed, that is proof of the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That you would dare to consider this. Of course, when we look at the fantasies of mundane scientists, we're forced to have complete faith in matter. That matter can do inconceivable things. Matter is endowed with inconceivable shakti. So much so that matter can produce life, consciousness, and all the variegatedness of the universe. Should we put our trust, or at least our initial hunch, in matter, or should we put it in Mahasankarshan, the three Purushavatars, Sheshanag, and what to speak of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya? So this is the battle that you fight in your mind. Is this information simply cultural conditioning? Is there a way to verify this information? Now, why, first of all, is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explaining all this? He wants you to actually understand what is beyond the universe and also how this universe came about. Just because this information is beyond the range of our material senses doesn't mean automatically that it is not true. We must admit how helpless we are, and that's a tough thing for those educated in today's educational systems. You are trained to have confidence in your own faculties. Don't depend on anyone, except when it's time to get a job. You are independent, except for most of the waking hours of your week, when you are dependent on the whims of your employer. But in any case, this is how persons today are trained. You stand upon your own feet. That means you speculate your way. As a human being, you are entitled to speculate. And your truth is as good as anyone else's truth. Why should one truth be better than another truth? So this is the culture that people are growing up in today. Conclusive truth is considered to be impossible to have. As you know, if you've spent any time doing outreach in the Western world, often you run across persons who say, no one knows, no one knows, just no one knows what's going on. So I always thank them for that knowledge. No one knows, really. You seem to know something. You seem to know that no one knows. And of course, you know, that causes a thinking person to hesitate. Wait a minute. How do I know that no one knows? So it all sounds so lucid and clear to you because you have the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But otherwise, the ordinary person would be totally baffled. Isn't it true that no one knows? In fact, they're hoping no one knows. Because as long as no one knows, you can just do whatever you want at every moment. The last thing they want is that someone knows. Because then you're obligated and you're dependent. So what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami does in Chaitanya Charitamrita, before moving to the Leelas, he gives you all the information to convince you that you are dependent and you should joyfully recognize your dependency. He's going to explain how even Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, they're dependent on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are proud to be known as servants of Lord Chaitanya. They jump up suddenly in ecstasy and dance, crying out, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of his servant. That is dependency. They are Prabhus. They are Vishnu Tattva. Yet, they publicly declare their dependency on Mahaprabhu. When you hear all this information in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you are indeed humbled. First, Kaviraj Goswami wants you to understand that Lord Chaitanya is no ordinary person. Not even is he an ordinary avatar. So Kaviraj Goswami takes much time to convince you that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is avatari, the source of all avatars. Sarva avatari. Then you might wonder, oh, who is Nityananda? It is a fact that people have a harder time understanding Nityananda than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of Nityananda's avaduta behavior, in which he takes no heed of social formulas. He takes no heed of Vedic protocols. He just does whatever he likes. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to uphold proper external dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very determined to rigidly display the activities and behaviors of the sannyasa ashram. So there's always this tug of war going on between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, including Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to follow sannyasa dharma very strictly to set an example, and his associates don't want him to do it. They don't want to see him take up austerities. They don't want to see him deprive himself in any way, shape, or form. So there's this constant tug of war going on. And sometimes it can seem that Lord Chaitanya is angry at his associates, even at Nityananda Prabhu. But underneath Lord Chaitanya's external anger at his associates, even at Nityananda Prabhu, is, of course, the greatest affection. So Nityananda Prabhu just specializes in disregarding any ordinary norms of behavior. So therefore, if you thought people have a hard time understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's even more difficult to understand Nityananda Prabhu. Yet, Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is what allows one to get the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is indeed inconceivable how Nityananda Prabhu acts so oblivious to social formulas, yet his mercy is so extraordinarily inconceivable. So this is what Kaviraj Goswami, this is the mission that Kaviraj Goswami is taking to heart. He's going to convince you to think twice about Nityananda Prabhu. And he knows, based on the example of his own brother, what happens when you underestimate Lord Nityananda. If you underestimate Lord Nityananda, of course, you have no access to Mahaprabhu. So therefore, you're getting this whole cosmological and trans-cosmological presentation of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Because then you'll be able to properly and fully approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains that by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he was able to go to Vrindavan. Indeed, then you can understand the whole writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita is because of the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It was Nityananda Prabhu who sent Kaviraj Goswami to Vrindavan in a dream, saying, go to Vrindavan, there everything will be possible. Don't be afraid. How did Kaviraj Goswami capture the attention of Nityananda Prabhu? On the one hand, of course, you could say, and it's true, that Kaviraj Goswami is eternally liberated soul. But in his biography, his autobiography, he's presenting other dynamics that he wants you to focus upon. He captured the attention of Nityananda Prabhu because he defended Nityananda Prabhu to his brother. His brother didn't think much of Nityananda Prabhu. Although his brother thought highly of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You all know how this came out into the open. The great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu, Miniketana Ramdas, approached where Kaviraj Goswami was residing. And you know how everyone immediately bowed down, knowing that this is the servant of Nityananda Prabhu. So they gave him all respect, recognizing that he was so dear to the master, Nityananda Prabhu. Everyone bowed down, everyone showed respect, except the pujari, who thought, I'm doing puja. I don't have to bow down. I don't have to acknowledge the entrance of Miniketana Ramdas. And of course, Miniketana Ramdas was not known for his ordinary behavior. He was absorbed in the mood of a cowherd boy, associate of Nityananda Prabhu. He would slap people with his flute. He would climb up on their backs. He would do behavior like that. So obviously, someone with mundane intelligence would think faulty of this devotee. Why does he behave like that? This is not being properly religious. In that way, of course, an ignorant observer would not be able to recognize what is the goal of religion, pure love of God. And that's what Miniketana Ramdas emanated. He was the walking goal of Dharma. So then, Miniketana Ramdas reacted to the pujaris not showing respect. Now you might think, well, wait a minute, is that Vaishnava life? Just because the pujari didn't respect him, he has to become angry, even break his flute and go away? Well, isn't this some kind of prestige thing, respect thing? But we have to understand Miniketana Ramdas's pure devotion. He did not take the slight for him. He took it as a slight for his master, Nityananda Prabhu. He's showing how to be a fully developed Vaishnava. All the emotions are there, but they're imperfection. Even pride is there on the perfect spiritual platform. You're not proud of your own abilities. You're not proud of anything you did, but you're proud of your master. So that was Miniketana Ramdas. He's not slighting me. He is slighting Nityananda Prabhu with his all-knowing vision. When a Vaishnava is all-knowing, that means he knows whatever Krishna wants him to know. The part and parcel is never omniscient, like the complete whole. But the part and parcel, in perfection, knows whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants the devotee to know. So Miniketana Ramdas knew this pujari actually's got a problem with Nityananda. So you have to understand it. Otherwise, you'd think, well, what's the fuss, you know? All right, so he's doing puja. He didn't bow down to you. It happens, you know. If such an incident happened here, you would not expect, you know, a brahmachari to get angry, break his flute, and leave the ashram. Well, the senior brahmacharis would, you know, tell him, calm down, calm down. This is not the behavior at Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. So then why Miniketana Ramdas? Why did he do like that? As I said, he knew there's a big problem here. And he wanted to dramatize that big problem for the sake of everyone. So actually, this is Miniketan Ram Das's mercy. A so-called eccentric dramatic explosion is actually his mercy. You got a problem here, Prabhus. Recognize it. Deal with it. And I'm out of here. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami took that very seriously. He didn't take it that Miniketan Ram Das was just, you know, having some unconventional behavior and just excuse him, he's a great soul. You know, I don't know why he's doing that. And a devotee thinks very seriously about what extraordinary personalities do. We see that even with Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes devotees don't go that extra mile to try and understand why he acted in a certain way. And as the years go by since Prabhupada's disappearance, sometimes misunderstandings creep in. Why did he do this? Why did he say that? Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could go along with that. I don't know if I can understand that. Since we're at Radha Gopinath Mandir in such a transcendentally ecstatic place, I will tell you my own little tiny story, as long as you promise to consider it very tiny and very insignificant. Everyone promises. Okay. Oh, about 12 years ago. Now, this is on my own personal realization, but Kaviraj Goswami has his personal realizations documented in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, ordinarily, I shouldn't speak about this, but just to reveal the mercy of Nityananda, I'm going to say it. So, what I will explain, of course, is just a drop in the ocean. But it illustrates that point, that sometimes devotees have problems understanding extraordinary personalities, and instead of making that step to go the extra mile, well, I don't understand, perhaps it could be I require more realization, perhaps I need guidance, instead of thinking like that, they immediately make a snap judgment, because in today's culture, snap judgments are very valued. Those are the kind of executives that are wanted. How quickly can you size up a situation? Yeah, just like those multiple choice questions for IIT. How quickly? Did you get it all right? So we apply that to the transcendental realm. Snap judgments. I've got it all figured out. It's either A, B, C, D. Okay, I've got 10 seconds. C. Right? So, about 10 years ago, there was some discussion amongst devotees that about Prabhupada's statements about certain things. And I'm not going to say what it was because it's actually not the point. Why did he say that? Perhaps it was because of his Victorian background growing up in Calcutta. His ethnicity influenced him to say such things in the Bhagavatam purports, so on and so forth. He shouldn't have said that. And someone should have explained to him. So things were getting a bit intense. So my little tiny self, I wrote an essay explaining how you cannot, with your material intellect, try to dissect someone who is on the platform of ecstatic love of Krishna. Of course, this is the point Chaitanya Charitamrita makes. You can't apply your mundane reasoning to someone who is drowning in the flood of Krishna Prem. So if you admit that there's such a thing as Krishna Prem, the ocean of love of God, then you also have to understand that such a person sees differently. Such a person behaves differently, and it doesn't always coincide with mundane existence. So I was explaining like that and quoting from Shastra. And, oh, I was just jumped on. What are you talking about? This is not relevant. These are the same old excuses that we've been getting again and again and again. Let's deal with the issue. Let's deal with Prabhupada's problems. So I got totally nuked. Dragged through the coals. And it was not a very pleasant ordeal. So I thought, well, anyway, what could I do? I tried, I failed. So that a few weeks later, I had a stunning dream of Srila Prabhupada. I was waiting outside his room, and I was saying to myself over and over again, I failed to defend Prabhupada. I failed to defend my spiritual master. My life is useless. Meanwhile, Prabhupada was beckoning. Come to my room. I said, no, I can't come. I failed. I did not defend you properly. So then Prabhupada came out of his room and picked me off the floor, embraced me tight, and said, thank you for defending me. So, I'm saying this tiny example of a tiny, less than a particle of the reality of the Bhakti Ocean, just to cast some light upon what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did in his extraordinary way and how he got the extraordinary result. He actually had an argument with his brother. Now, you know, even today in India, although things are changing so rapidly, family arguments, they're not supposed to happen, although they do, and you're supposed to smooth it out very quickly for the sake of family progress and keeping up the status quo. So for Kaviraj Goswami to bring this point up to his brother, obviously it was not an ordinary thing. Because it attracted such a reaction from Nityananda Prabhu. Kaviraj Goswami explained, I know that you have strong faith in Chaitanya, but you have neglected Nityananda. It's better you be an atheist and reject both of them than try to play one off against the other. It's a very strong statement. Better you become an atheist and reject both of them than accept one and not accept the other. These two brothers, they're one. Just as Krishna and Balaram are one in the sense that the only real difference is Krishna is bluish, Balaram is whitish, Krishna generally wears yellow, Balaram wears blue. That's how close they are. And it's the same with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So Kaviraj Goswami made this strong point. His brother did not accept. And just briefly, Kaviraj Goswami points out, his spiritual life ebbed away, he fell down. He tried to save his brother, in other words, but he failed. He had a most vivid dream of Nityananda Prabhu. And he gives you the full description, which you all know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The stunning appearance of Lord Nityananda Balaram, surrounded by his cowherd associates. You get verse-by-verse detail of how Lord Nityananda Balaram looked, what was happening around him. And he said to Kaviraj Goswami, don't be afraid. In other words, I know this is really blowing your mind, but don't be afraid. Arise, go to Vrindavan. There everything will be possible. Your good fortune will await you in Vrindavan. So when Kaviraj Goswami awoke, he practically, when the full impact hit him as he awoke, he collapsed on the ground. Like, And without a moment's delay, he left for Vrindavan. So what happened when he got to Vrindavan? Understand that first of all, he has attained Vrindavan by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Under Nityananda Prabhu's authorization, Kaivas Goswami went to Vrindavan. And what happened there? All the further events that happened in Vrindavan, Kaivas Goswami attributes to the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Number one, he got the shelter of Sanatana Goswami, who is the epitome of Bhakti Siddhanta, the Bhakti conclusions. He got the shelter of Rupa Goswami, who is the Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of knowledge of the nectarian loving relationships with Krishna. He got the shelter, he said, of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he also got the shelter of Srup Damodar. So all those inconceivable personalities became his shelter. And Kaviraj Goswami says it's because of Nityananda Prabhu. Not only these extraordinary personalities, but the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan in general. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, they gave me their mercy because of Nityananda Prabhu. And then he goes further. He says, the darshan and blessings of Radha Madan Mohan Vigraha, that's because of Nityananda Prabhu. The darshan, the grace of Shishi Radha Govinda, that is because of Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, Kaviraj Goswami presents everything, all the good fortune that happened to him in Vrindavan, even his very going to Vrindavan, as the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And of course, by being in Vrindavan and getting the mercy of those deities and Vaishnavas, Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in that way, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered by Vaishnava acharyas to be the pinnacle of Vaishnava literature, you know, sweet, sweeter, sweetest, it's all absolute, but Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered the most exquisite spiritual rendition. This is all the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Now, let's point out one thing. You might think that Kaviraj Goswami, the recipient of such extraordinary mercy, is obviously thankful and grateful, but along with his inconceivable presentation of the mercy he got, are inconceivable self-depictions. He presents himself in such a humiliating way. In other words, Kaviraj Goswami is showing you the whole spectrum of pure Vaishnava emotions and pure Vaishnava knowledge, which doesn't exclude his powerful statements of his analysis of his own worth. So you might wonder, how does all that fit in? On the one hand, he's talking about such inconceivable things. And he got such inconceivable mercy. On the other hand, what does he say about himself? I'm more sinful than Jagai Madai. I'm lower than a worm in stool. Anyone who sees me or hears my name loses all their pious activities. You might say, well, very nice poetry. Yes, this is part of the Vaishnava culture to say like that, even though you don't really think that way, of course. As modern psychologists will tell you, you shouldn't have a problem with self-esteem. You should be able to appreciate your own self-worth. That's very necessary in the working world. How full of yourself are you? How can you present yourself as all-knowing? If you don't know it today, you'll find out overnight as you stay up all night doing research on the internet. You're supposed to present yourself as savvy in that way. To deprecate yourself to lower yourself so dramatically as Kaviraj Goswami did is considered psychologically unhealthy. By the standards of the contemporary world. Yet, you see, Kaviraj Goswami speaks so... He demotes himself so much. Yet, at the same time, he's presenting such inconceivable spiritual truths. So he's giving you insight into the whole spectrum of Vaishnava emotions. He's showing you, don't think that by becoming Krishna's servant, your personality becomes constricted and distorted and very cramped. I find that devotees, sometimes they have this subconscious fear that if I become too advanced in bhakti, I'll lose touch with myself and I don't know what the opportunities for full emotional expression will be. Therefore, I should cling to some material attachments. After all, you know, we don't want to lose our connection to humanity. And so that means, that fear of losing connection to humanity means I should hold on to mundane characteristics of myself. Because who knows whether on the spiritual platform there will be full opportunity for me to be myself. Whatever that is. I don't know that. This is why we say, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Tarani. What's plaguing us in the background is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, impersonalism and voidism. What would I be like if I did want to be a pure devotee? What would it be like? I don't know. This is what's going on subconsciously. Therefore, better to hold on to the mundane platform. To some degree. In a nice way, of course. In a Vaishnava-like way. But when you reach Adhyanacharyadharmita, you see this inconceivable panorama. Such ecstatic love of Krishna. Such extraordinary knowledge of the spiritual material world. And yet such an utter presentation of humility. It's so... Such a low presentation of self-esteem that Prabhupada even had to explain to us. Don't think Kaviraj Goswami is just being poetic when he says these things. He's actually 100% feeling it to his core. That takes a lot of thought. Naturally, we're all thinking and fearing that if ever we wrote such a text as Chaitanya Charitamrita, or even something remotely near it, we would feel a sense of accomplishment. Yeah, it's pretty good what I did. Of course, it's all Krishna's mercy, we know that. Yeah, I did pretty good. By Krishna's grace, I've got good abilities. I've done a lot, actually. Have you noticed, Prabhus? But to say something like, I'm more sinful than Jagai and Muddai and mean it? I'm low in the worm and stool and mean it? When you think about it, this is, after making such an extraordinary literature, this is very, it's very inconceivable for us. But through the humility and erudition of Kaviraj Goswami, we are seeing Vaishnav emotions in perfection. And that is why Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the reasons why it is such an ocean of nectar, because you get to see the characteristics of the spirit soul in perfection through activities. Indeed, that is what Chaitanya Charitamrita literally means. The activities of the living force, the characteristics of the living force in perfection. So when you read about the interactions between the devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you actually see what it's like to behave on the spiritual platform. And suddenly, the whole world of mundane emotions seems so trivial and perverted. So by the mercy of Kaviraja Goswami, you can get a clear vision of what the lifestyle on the perfect sentient platform is like. This is what Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda do with their leelas. Krishna has his leelas, but Lord Chaitanya shows how to live with devotees in perfection. How to relate to devotees in perfection. That is the great contribution of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. How to hear and chant in perfection together with devotees. How to take prasad in perfection. How to dance in perfection. In this way, as the perfect devotee, Lord Chaitanya dispels our paranoia that if we relinquish our grip on the material world, who knows what life will be like. We think, okay, if I join Krishna Leela, I understand what that's going to be. But what about as a devotee makes advancement? What lies ahead? So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their associates show you the perfection of Vaishnava Sangha. In this way, we have a goal to strive for. By the activities of the devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see the standard. You know how high the bar is. You know how much progress you have to make. So let us return to our discussion of the problem with Nityananda Prabhu. Kaviraja Goswami's brother had that problem. Therefore, to educate people in who is actually Lord Nityananda, you see this elaborate presentation. Once you can understand how Balaram interacts with Krishna, then you can also understand how Nityananda Prabhu interacts with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How did Lord Balaram act toward Krishna? As his servant, as his guru, and as his friend. Nityananda Prabhu does the same thing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, while Krishna was in the forest with his friends, sometimes Balaram would rest his head on the lap of a cowherd boy, and Krishna would come along and massage his feet. Taking a subordinate role. And of course, in their sporting pastimes in the forest, they were friends, Krishna and Balaram. And Balaram would also present himself as the servant of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna would massage his feet as Balaram being the master, the guru. Sometimes Balaram would acknowledge Krishna is the master. Just like in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Balaram saw the whole bewilderment of Lord Brahma unfolding and how the calves and cows were more attached to each other, how the sons were more attached to their mothers and fathers, Balaram was getting suspicious. What's going on here? And then he began to reflect upon himself. He did an internal scan. what I'm seeing is very bewildering. Now, could it be that some Rakshasi, some witch, is showing her mystic power? But when he did an internal scan, he understood. No, after all, who am I? I'm Balaram. No Rakshasi could bewilder me. So there's only one possibility. My brother. I'm his servant, and he's doing these things. So then Balaram privately consulted with Krishna. Krishna, what's going on? I know you're the boss. What's happening? And Krishna told him. And Balaram understood, okay. So in this way, Balaram sometimes acted as Krishna's servant, sometimes as Krishna's friend, sometimes as Krishna's guru. Nityananda Prabhu does the same thing. So Kaviraj Goswami wants to establish Lord Nityananda Balaram. And he presents to you the whole package so that you would never consider Balaram separate from Nityananda and Nityananda separate from Balaram. And he presents that whole package in such a way that you can see what Lord Nityananda is doing with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami traces the whole expansion of the material world to Nityananda Prabhu as Balaram. Therefore, you get today's verse. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Sheshanaga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karan Ocean, Garbhadak Ocean, and Ocean of Milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Kaviraj Goswami is giving you the whole theology, scientific theology of Nityananda in the cosmic sense and beyond this cosmos. And then he's going to explain to you that that same Nityananda, who is the origin of all these plenary portions and portions of plenary portions, he is distributing Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and you cannot effectively please Lord Chaitanya without pleasing Lord Nityananda. And to prove that, Kaviraj Goswami presents his own example. He's saying, look what happened to me. Because of Nityananda Prabhu's blessings, I was able to go to Vrindavan. I was able to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. I was able to get the mercy of Srup Damodar, Rupa and Snatan, Raghunath Das Goswami. And I was able to get the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mahan and Sri Sri Radha Govinda. So in this way, right from the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are trained to take Lord Nityananda with utmost seriousness. And that training is so necessary. We've spoken before about how mundane scholars have a tough time with Lord Chaitanya. They say he was a great social reformer. He was fighting for equality. He was trying to diminish the caste system. And then he got to Puri. And what happened? He just lost the plot completely. He was doing so good. Civil rights, class equality, all those highest human goals. Then he got to Puri and he just dropped the ball. So the British historians especially, they say like that. They just write him off. They just miss him after Lord Chaitanya, you know, entered his last 12 years in Puri. No point in even historians keeping track of him. So if they have that problem with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Avaduta, even Advaitacharya, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would sometimes be exasperated with Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, exasperated in the pure ecstatic love that they were all drowning in. We'll speak more about that tonight. Nityananda Prabhu could be very bewildering. So my point is showing you that you could have it's possible to have a real bias against Nityananda Prabhu, even subconsciously. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, I can swallow that. But when you hear about things Nityananda Prabhu is doing, it's more difficult. Yet, our getting the full mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dependent on our understanding Nityananda Prabhu. So today, we beg Lord Nityananda for the ability to get his mercy. You see, Narottam Das Thakur explains, if you want to understand Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, you have to take shelter of the literature of the Goswamis. But in order to take shelter of the literature of the Goswamis, you have to first get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So all roads lead through Nityananda Prabhu. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes this point. If you want the full mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you have to understand Nityananda Prabhu. And we'll discuss tonight how Nityananda Prabhu, besides dealing with Jagai and Madai, being more merciful in that event, in general, he is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya dealt with very high-class devotees, the greatest scholars in India, very upper-class persons who became his devotees. But by his direction, Nityananda Prabhu just distributed Lord Chaitanya's mercy with no consideration. That is the advantage of being an avaduta. Nityananda Prabhu can deliver who he likes. He can uplift whoever he likes. So by him giving Nityananda Prabhu the task of spreading bhakti without consideration, Lord Chaitanya knew exactly what he was doing. Not simply because Nityananda is his closest associate, Balaram, but because who can question Nityananda? Indeed, even if you question him, you can't stop him. You may say, what is this Nitai? What is he doing? Well, you can't stop him. He doesn't care. In this way, Mahaprabhu knows exactly the way to do things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere without consideration. Who's the best person to call on to do that? Someone who doesn't care about any considerations. Nityananda does what he likes. So he was the right man to hire, so to speak. So this is all explained by Kaviraj Goswami in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. At first you may think all this information right in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita is a bit intense. Oh, that Adi Leela is a bit difficult to get through. When are we going to get to the nectar parts? Right? Oh, these first 7 or 8 chapters, kind of intense. But that information that Kaviraj Goswami gives is extraordinarily necessary for appreciating the Leelas. Armed with the understandings of these first chapters of Adi Leela, then your appreciation of the Leelas exponentially increases. Everyone likes to get mercy. But how vast is that mercy? And what is the science of mercy? This is the day for approaching that ocean of the science of mercy. And that mercy is distributed by the most unconventional personality. Nityananda Prabhu never took sannyas. Therefore, another name is, he has his Nityananda Swarup. That's his brahmachari name. He's the pinnacle of the lifelong brahmachari. In his own way. As a Paramahansa Avaduta. Of course, he had unconventional activities. Yet, at the same time, you could always see that he was far beyond any material constraints, any material understandings. So Kaviraj Goswami asks you that you simply try to analyze the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. You'll never find a greater subject matter for your intelligence than trying to understand that. How it is that an avaduta who seemingly disregards the classic Varnashram Dharma yet is known as Nityananda Swarup. He kept his brahmachari name. How is that possible? How could he do all the things he did and yet remain 100% untouched by the material energy and enable his followers to be 100% untouched by the material energy? This is why a solid foundation in understanding Lord Nityananda is so essential. And we're so grateful that Kaviraj Goswami has so rigorously and comprehensively presented us with this tattva. Equipped with the tattva, with Nityananda tattva, we can then proceed into the leelas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.